Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. I hope you're having a great start to your day. A lot of people getting ready for the 4th of July weekend. Going to head out of town. Be happy. Be safe. Enjoy some grilling. But celebrate America. Merca.
But you won't be here, though.
I will be down in Florida celebrating America.
That you will.
Which is a true American state.
It truly is. So because of that, we have come up with the top 10 things Chase McCabe is not going to care about over the next week and a half that he is gone on vacation. So Dr. Crane, our top 10 list, you ready? All right. At number
I like this. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there we go.
That's the old late night theme, too.
You're the best, Dr. Crane. I'll do my best Letterman accent if I can, and along with the Paul Schaefer.
Dr. Crane is the perfect Paul Schaefer. If we shaved his head and put his glasses on, he would be Paul Schaefer.
I'll show you a picture. I actually shaved my head a few years back.
You got the laugh down? Because all you got to do is. That's it. All right. Now the top 10 things that Chase McCabe will not care about on vacation. Number 10, when Jake Wallman calls at 6 a.m. on a Saturday that he has hit the self-destruct button at the station.
Snooze.
Number 10, that Jake Wallman. Number 9, when Adam Vingan texts you 44 times to find out how to get to the remote location.
Adam back there.
Number 8. When Parker Kelly can't find the on button in Studio A and turns the entire station off. Parker Kelly.
Parker Kelly.
Number 7. When Lakin asks why a certain commercial hasn't not run when she hasn't checked her email in weeks.
Lakin.
Number 6. When Stillman texts you 11 times in the 9 a.m. hour asking why you are not talking about sports.
Stillman, hot air.
Number 5. When Adam Vingan wants to come into the studio during your show to sit on your lap. That's at number 5. Number 5. That Adam Vingan. Vingan, huh? Vingan. Vingan. Number 4. When Stillman texts you 14 times in the 10 a.m. hour to ask why you're not talking about sports. Hey, Paul. Stillman.
Yeah, Stillman.
Stillman. All right, number 3. When the entire sales staff texts you every day between 9 and 11, but doesn't text you at all the rest of the week. Sales staff.
Sales staff. Yeah, getting it done.
Number 2, Dr. Crane. Vingan. Adam Vingan. Number 2. When Vingan texts you why he can't sit on your lap during the show.
Look, he's so confused back there.
Yeah, Vingan. Vingan.
And the number 1 thing that Chase McCabe will not care about on vacation is when Jake Wallman calls you cute.
Call me cute?
Thank you, Dave.
That's your top 10 list today. So wake the kids, phone the neighbors.
Hey, I don't know who you were there.
Hey, everybody, that's a top 10 list that I came up with a long time ago when I was in the Tonight Show back in way down there.
Yeah, that was there's your Leno.
That is right
good.
There.
Thank you. That was very good.
There you go.
A lot of Vingan slander in there. I don't know how we feel about that, but that's okay.
Look, you gotta have a soft. You gotta let it go, bounce off your chest.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you're trying to say. Yeah.
But, don't make me do it, Joe.
What's that?
Don't make me do it.
Oh, that's what she said.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
You like to do it.
You've learned. I'm very proud of you.
You guys have your comedy. Your sense of humor is, I guess, floated into this area.
That's good.
Should have.
You got to do the, you know, with Dave, like when he's standing there on the stage, kind of do the, you know, the hands in the pockets and the hee-hee. And
right.
Kind of the...
Weird, wild stuff. My favorite Letterman thing that he ever did, and look, he before he got political in the last 10 years of his show and became awful, the day he jumped and he had a corduroy suit and he jumped off a trampoline onto a wall and he stuck to a wall. What do you call that? Velcro. He had a Velcro suit.
The Velcro, yeah.
He Velcroed himself. And it just made me laugh. And the number two, he did a show one time in an airport lobby. And yep. His guest was Pat. It was Letterman and Paul Schaefer with a keyboard and Pat Sajak. And it was awful, but it was so
Was that
funny.
Late night?
Yeah, that was NBC.
Yeah.
The CBS, The NBC part of Letterman was, I mean, but you know, it's funny.
See, I think CBS was funny, but that's also what I remember. I was too young for late night.
His Netflix show is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's him. It's no political garbage, which he got into. It's just
He did interview Obama, but
well, that's fine.
But it was a good interview.
But it wasn't, you know, Trump's awful. You're the best. Blah blah blah. It was like, you know, the late night TV show is and all that. I don't watch any of the late night nonsense anymore. But it was good. My favorite Letterman joke, real quick. He said they were doing a show in Vegas, and he said, "Hey, I'm out here in Vegas. I'm in front of a casino, and a guy walks up and says, "Hey, man, can I borrow $10,000?" And Letterman's like, $10,000? I was like, I need $10,000. My wife needs a kidney transplant. He goes, all right, let me get this together. I'm setting aside a casino. You need $10,000, and your wife needs a kidney transplant. He's like, yeah, I need $10,000. And Letterman says, what are the odds that I give you $10,000 that you don't walk back in this casino and start spending money? And the guy says, oh, I got gambling money. It's just the very simple, to the point joke.
He was so, and you know, Carson wrote a lot of his jokes later on. But that the top 10 was always my favorite.
Oh, it's great. It was when they came to town. I worked with the crew for 4 days and did the Nashville show. And the head writer, Eric Stengel, we're still good friends. We talked about all the writing and stuff that went on and the jokes and everything and how they had like 10 writers and every morning they had to put their own, the topic would be top 10, whatever, and they had to put the cards out in front of their office and they came by and collected everything. He's like, that was the most pressure on that job because that top 10 list was so popular and so much fun that you had to get it right almost every time.
I would love, if there was ever an opportunity to get him on the show, to get Dave Letterman on, that would be so cool, like around Indy or whatever, because you know he owns a race team. He did an interview with Jamie Little at Indianapolis, which was nice. Super cool during Indy 500 weekend. But like I loved him. I mean that was what I wanted to do for a while.
The best job around. So it's Indiana boy, and so it was
Ball State.
It was Ball State, He got fired from his TV job because a tropical storm got upgraded to a hurricane. He's like, congratulations to William, who got upgraded to a hurricane today. And bosses did not like that, and they fired him. Then he moved to Los Angeles, and the rest is history.
Started doing comedy, and...
That's why I met him a long time ago on the
Working for Johnny, and then late night.
Should have gotten the job.
He should have. I think one of the funniest thing when he debuted The Late Show on CBS, the first episode, he's like, you know, NBC owns a lot of our intellectual property, so you know we can't use the names that we used on the old show, and so they like changed them all, and Tom Brokaw walks out, which was huge because he was still employed by NBC. Brokaw walks out and basically is like, you know, I'm watching you. Like, you can't use this
stuff.
Didn't
he take something from
him? Yeah, he took it. Yeah, he's like, this is ours.
And yeah, he took it away from him. I mean, like Larry Bud Melman was the absolute best. And then they couldn't take Larry Bud Melman with him to CBS. He was Calvin DeForest, and then he died a couple years later. But I'm telling you, man, we all in college, I mean, Letterman was key for us. Came on at 11:30 at night, and it was just amazing to watch all that. And that's all gone now, man. Now it's just so political and everybody gets offended. And that's why I like Jay Leno. Jay Leno was in town back in April, went and saw him. Funny, man. He told jokes on both sides of the aisle. Everybody laughed and nobody got offended.
Are he and Letterman good now? Do they ever make up?
I don't think so. Watch that HBO special, Late Night. Yeah. It's really good. Rich Little did Johnny Carson, and Johnny Carson told Rich Little, if you do this, you'll never come on the show again. And Rich Little's like, well, I haven't been on in about 5 years, so I'm not really missing anything. So Rich Little did Johnny Carson. It's a great, great show, and it all started here in Nashville because Ken Cragen was Trisha Yearwood's manager, and Leno's manager said, if you go on Letterman, you don't come on our show, and put an ultimatum down. So Trisha Yearwood goes on Letterman, goes on Leno, and starts this whole big fireball. So it all started here in Nashville with Trisha Yearwood.
Stillman just texted me that we're not talking sports.
Right. That's 13 times.
Chase, can I come in and sit on your lap in the 10:30 hour? Adam Vingan. Vingan. Right. Hey, Paul, Paul, you like that Vingan?
I tell you what, let's do this. Let's test the knowledge of the audience when we're talking about Late Night. Paul Schaefer and the CBS Orchestra was the name of the band when they were on CBS and The Late Show. What was the original name of the band on NBC and The Late Night program? Ooh. If you get it right, you tell Dr. Crane, you'll win a pair of tickets to see Volbeat and Hailstorm at First Bank Amphitheater on Thursday, August 2nd, 615-737-1025. What was the name of Paul Schaefer's band on the Late Night program on NBC? Good luck with that. We'll come back with more. You're on Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game here on this Wednesday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane behind the glass. We had a winner. The world's most dangerous band.
I totally forgot about that.
Yep.
He's so talented.
And during the break, we were watching the top 10 reasons it took me 20 years to win the Daytona 500 with Dale Earnhardt.
So, I mean, just it was fun, man. That was a fun time, just really watching Late Night. We all stayed up. We watched a top 10 list. It was funny. It was all good. And then it all turned to you know what. But, you know, yep. We still have YouTube and all the great clips that we have to do for all that stuff.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. We started the show talking about it. Barry Trotz met with the media yesterday. So did Andrew Brunette. Talked about the – you know, they didn't really do a lot for free agency. They signed Nick Perbix to a two-year deal to come in and play defense. He's a right shot. They've gotten bigger on defense. That was something that – Barry Trotz said that they wanted to do, and then with the forwards, they're going to let some of the young guys have their opportunity to come in and play. I mean, there's still, you know, quite a few veterans that they're going to have to compete with, so I do wonder if maybe there are some moves that get made that some guys end up leaving, but I think it's the right course of action for them. You know, see what you got, see if you get a rebound with Marchessault and Stamkos and Forsberg and those guys, and then hope that Evangelista and LaRue and some of the other youngsters come in and do something.
Well, I'm good. Just put the phone down, Barry, go on vacation, figure it out, and then come back, run it back with your certain guys, and then let's have fun. I'm just ready to go down to Bridgestone and have fun, drink some beer, and yell at the opposing team. That's all I know.
Do you yell at the officials?
I do not. Okay. Because I don't know enough about hockey to yell at officials. Yeah, I really don't want to know. I like the Preds. I like when they win. And that's – I'm a fan. I mean, you guys are the experts. I'm the fan. So I'll give you the fan expert, the fan opinion from that side of it, and just win games. I mean, look, in 17, the going to the Stanley Cup final, if you just moved to Nashville, you missed that. And that was amazing for somebody that grew up here and never thought that would happen. It was unbelievable, you know, and hopefully the Titans can get something done and go to the Super Bowl again, but I think it's going to be a long time before that happens.
Yeah, no, and look, I mean, I think right now it's fair to say that both teams are a long way off, and, you know, Barry talked about it before the draft of, you know, I asked the question that do you eventually have to pick a lane? Right now you're kind of trying to do both at one time, stay competitive and also build for the future, and I on paper do like what they're doing to build for the future, but to stay competitive, are you Stanley Cup competitive or are you just maybe get into the race and see what happens competitive? Because right now, I think that's more where they are than they are Stanley Cup competitive.
I don't like the argument. Well, they don't need to make the playoffs, get high draft picks, and blah. The fact when you put in your mind of like, well, they shouldn't make the playoffs and get a high draft choice. It's insanity to me. The fact that you don't want to make the playoffs every year, I don't understand that line of thinking. That is a
loser mentality. But that's going to get worse.
It's
going to get worse this year. If they start off 0-5 like they did last year, you are going to hear a large contingent of the fan base saying, tank, be terrible, because the kid that is predicted to be the number one overall pick is, I think, Kale McCarr's cousin, and he's supposedly a game-changing player.
Supposedly.
Yeah, and so so you're going to hear that. Like, people are going to say, oh, no, suck, go get this guy. I'm with you. I am, you're an athlete. You're a professional athlete. You're paid a lot of money. It's not – I don't think it's in their DNA to go out and suck.
No, and obviously you guys knew Floyd a lot better than I did. The one time I interviewed Floyd – we were at the combine talking about the draft choices, and he said the worst word in the world for any sport is potential.
Yep.
Is potential.
So potential gets more coaches and GMs fired than anything.
Well, that guy's going to be number one. That guy has the potential. He's like, nah, man. I was like, you're right. You're right. So but the fact that you tell a team to tank, you're an absolute idiot. You're an absolute loser idiot if you want your team to tank.
I think one thing I want to see is, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, Brady Martin, who they drafted fifth overall at center. They could play him for 9 games, see what he has, and then make the decision. Is he with the team or is he going back to juniors? I think he starts the year as the second line center. I heard Jared say it yesterday. I agree with that. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to make this club and to play out of camp. Now, whether he's ready to do that or not, that we'll find out. But everything Barry Trotz has said about him is he's got that compete level that he's going to come in and try and take somebody's job.
I hope.
And honestly, I have no issue with that. Now, I don't want to rush him, but you have – because the truth of the matter is he may want to be competitive, Barry, meaning you may want to be competitive, and you might be competitive, but you might not be. So – let's continue to kind of look at what you have moving forward. And if the kid has a good training camp and he's right on the cusp, then leave him on the roster and let's see what happens. And if after 5 games or whatever, you're like, the league's too fast for him, he's not there yet, then send him back to juniors. That's fine. But
sure.
But I think you owe it to yourself and you owe it to him to kind of see what you got with him early on. And some of these other young guys. I think this is going to be a really fun training camp. If you're into watching the prospects and seeing who they have that can help this team right now, you're going to enjoy going to, you know, Fordyce or wherever they're going to have the training camp and watching these guys play. Because they're going to be hungry. You're going to have some
hungry.
You're going to have some pissed off veterans that are wanting to prove something. So, I mean, the conditions to me are right for this team to have a bounce back. They just have to do it. And on the coaching side of things, you know, Burnett talked about some systematic things that they're working on. You know, he's going to have to change some of his style. He's going to have to adapt as a coach. Now, the good news is, I heard Robbie mention this morning, and I agree with this. The good news is that you know, Stamkos missing Tampa and Marchessault missing Vegas, like, that's all gone now. Like, this is their team. And they both Brunette and I think it was Brunette said it, that this, the, you know, they're home now. This is their team, and now they have to show it.
Good. That's look. I'm go to camp. All that other great stuff. First 10 games, you need to be probably give me 6-4. Give me at least 10 points. First 10 games, maybe 12. That'd be great. But I need out of the gate. But if you're 0-5 again, you're done. I mean, you're done. I mean, they're. A lot of people could be done. So let's just wait and see. And this hockey team comes back and then bring back the magic and the fun, the excitement at Bridgestone. And let's roll with this thing, man. And make the playoffs. Whether you're the 8th seed or the 3rd seed or the 1 seed, get in. Mm-hmm. You can't win championships if you don't get in the playoffs. Nonsense. Tanking, getting a draft choice.
Adam in Portland says, you can't tank if you're Nashville. They rigged that lottery. We would never get that player. A lot of people think, I don't think they rig it. I just think it. You know, I mean, the Islanders getting the number one overall pick, jumping 10 spots.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, those lottery things, Pat Ewing getting to the 1985 NBA draft, going to the Knicks.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
I don't know. Coming up next, there's something that we haven't done yet, and I'm surprised that you haven't brought it up.
Oh, I did. I had it at 9:02, and I just let you go on your little thing.
Oh, thank you.
That's
very sweet of you. We'll do our countdown coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. Hey, Nashville's best deal of the week is Tzatziki's. Craving some fresh and flavorful? Tzatziki's has you covered, from juicy chicken kebabs to perfectly grilled salmon. Every bite is bursting with Mediterranean goodness, and don't even get us started on the homemade sauces and dressing. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe on this Wednesday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I am I'm counting down the minutes.
Yeah, countdown's all, buddy.
I got chasing checkers to take care of. If you miss Steve Post, good chance you're going to hear him again.
Usually I like the, when you get out of town, hey, good for you and good for you. But this time I hope you get caught behind that slow speed chase getting out of town. Going 8 miles an hour and just taking your time blocking the road up. You should go 8 miles. You should try 8 miles. Can you go 8 miles an hour for 4 hours?
No.
How much gas mileage are you getting in that car?
Pretty good gas mileage, but I couldn't do it. No, it would drive me insane.
Somebody said, texted in to us and said, why didn't the police just walk over and open the door? She's going good. So slow.
That's actually a really good point.
What time are you heading out?
I'm going to probably leave here like 2 o'clock.
So you hit that Birmingham traffic at 5. It'd be a lot of fun.
Well, I'm going to Atlanta first.
Because
we're going to do Braves tonight. So I'm going a little out of the way.
Who's this we, sucker?
Some friends.
Some friends.
Yeah. Group of friends.
You and Phil. Those aren't pillows.
Phil will be one of those friends.
Oh, nice. And all right. Are you ready?
Yeah, hit it.
All right. We are 51 days out from the start of college football. 51 days. Now, somebody sent me a note yesterday and said, no, we're 58. Tennessee doesn't play to the 30th. I get that. But there are games the week before. Tennessee and Vandy and MTSU all start their games on the 23rd. That's 51 days out from the day. So as we're doing famous number 51s in sports, and it's funny, for me, number 51 begins and ends with Dick Butkus, right? Famous number 51. Yep. This AI comes up and says, in the NFL, several players have worn number 51, and notable examples are Ken Norton Jr. and David Long. I want Mike Vrabel to see this list and lose his mind. So famous number 51s in sports. For me, it's Dick Butkus, but there are others, Chase McCabe.
This is so easy for me, and they're both out of the same sport and ironically played for the same team. Number one, the big unit, Randy Johnson.
That's right, yeah.
And the second one, your favorite, Ichiro.
Oh, no. Is he 51? Ichiro Suzuki, 51, yes.
Ichiro. I mean, how many people are known like Ichiro Suzuki, but how many known are just by one name? Ichiro. You just say Ichiro, you know who it is.
I mean, is he a top five all-time hitter? I mean, he's just amazing player.
Yeah. His nickname, Area 51.
Right.
Number he played. I mean, he was – just and then obviously Randy Johnson. I mean, dude murdered a bird.
he
absolutely destroyed a bird.
Yep. Is that a seagull versus Toronto, right?
Yeah, it was spring training, I think. I mean, that is still one of the greatest. Like, I feel bad for the bird, but like, that is still one of the, like, there's no way you could do that again.
David's saying that Randy Johnson's a photographer now, and that's his watermark.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Birds is watermark, yeah.
Can you imagine that bird having a good old day? Like, I'm going to check out this baseball game, and he flies by.
And then, boop.
And then gone. famous Hall of Fame, number 51 in football, Dick Butkus, Sam Mills, Cal Hubbard, and number 51. Well, hello there, Jim Ringo. Like somebody walked over your grave.
Mike Pouncey, didn't he wear it?
He did wear number 51. He sure did.
Any
Titans with 51?
David Long.
David Long, anybody else?
Yes, there was another. There was another linebacker.
51.
Wasn't
Greg Favors? Wasn't he 54?
Yeah, hang on. I said hang on.
51. 51 Titans.
David Bass. Remember him?
David Bass. Good Lord.
Will Compton.
Was he 51?
He sure was.
He spent so little time on that team, I don't remember what he did.
But you would have thought he was a Hall of Fame player. Eric Fares. Oilers.
I don't remember him.
Greg Favors was 51.
Was he?
Yep. 99 to 2001.
How did you remember?
Here's a good one. Lamansky Hall.
Lamansky Hall.
I love
him. From Alabama. How did you remember David Bass?
It popped up.
You're like a Charlie Babbitt.
I looked it up. Oh, okay. Gerald McGrath.
Gerald McGrath.
Was 51. Robert Reynolds. I don't remember.
Yep. Western Kentucky. Played at Ohio State. Robert Reynolds.
And then Ted Thompson.
Oh, double T. Double T.
That's the Ted Thompson that was with the Packers, right?
Was he an Oiler player at one time?
I think he was, because I think John's mentioned him before.
Did he pass away?
He did.
That'd be him. Yep. Yeah. Him and Reinfeld were best friends.
Yeah.
Hey, so there you go. 68 years old.
Number 51. Yeah, people are saying Will Compton. Was Singletary?
50. How dare you?
Well, Tommy said Mike Singletary.
Tommy, how dare you? What about, we had the privy to listen to some Jeff Fisher stories this past weekend.
Oh, yes, we did.
And it's funny because he gets hit two sides. Chase gets him with the Titans stuff, and I get him with all the other stuff that happened before the Titans. And just the Singletary stories that he's told us are just unbelievable.
The Bobby Ryan stories, or Bobby Ryan, Buddy Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Ryan's a hockey player. Buddy Ryan.
Yeah, Buddy Ryan stories.
The Buddy Ryan stories are
amazing.
So good.
Right? I mean, it was crazy. And then, Fisher goes on and coaches Reggie White for the Eagles. I mean, and all that goes on, and told us a story about.
He told us a Rams story that was pretty good, like the old Rams, St. Louis Rams.
What about
the first LA Rams?
What was the story about Jesus and Reggie White? Reggie White's first camp, they went against the Detroit Lions, and a lineman says, "Better watch out, Reggie. Jesus is coming."
No, and Reggie said, "Jesus is coming."
And then he put him on his ass. Reggie did a club move on him, and the guy got back in line and said something like,
"No, all right, let me help you."
Okay,
so Reggie lines up against this lineman,
right?
And this lineman kind of makes a dirty move on him or whatever, and Reggie says, "Jesus is coming." And so they're going back through, and the lineman comes up again. Reggie gets out of line to go up against him, just swim moves him and knocks him on his ass, reaches down to pick him up and goes, "Jesus is here."
But the guy made some smart-ass comment about something.
Yeah.
About
but
Jesus
Reggie was the one. Yeah. Reggie was the one that said Jesus is coming and Jesus is here.
I mean, you could sit there for hours and listen to those things. I mean, just hours. You know, and
it was so good. I love Reggie White.
Yeah.
So hearing those stories of just, and then who was the you were asking him about the
Jerome Brown.
Jerome Brown, yeah.
Just the man of seeing all that. But it's a lot of fun. But the Singletary thing, I love the Bear stuff because that single 85 team, I think, is the greatest football team of all time. And you're like, what about the 2007 Patriots? About, like, you didn't win Super Bowl. Or the Dolphins won beaten, whatever. You know, it's funny that the Bears lost one game in 85 too.
The Miami Dolphins.
At the Orange Bowl. I mean, it's so seeing Fisher on the sidelines at that game, and that was a Monday night game. It was crazy. Orange Bowl was going bananas, and the Bears win it. And the fact they didn't win more Super Bowls over that just kind of, solidifies why that one year was so important for the Chicago Bears.
It's so funny talking to Coach Fisher about that team because, Jeff got hurt. Bill Cowher broke his leg. Like I think he's still a little pissed off about that.
Oh, yeah, he's like, get the story right. Figure it out.
Clay has called into the program. He wants to weigh in. Hello, Clay.
Is it possible, Chase, to just turn Big Joe's mic off? I don't want to talk to him today. Can I just talk to you?
Sure, that's fine. Whatever you want to do, man.
You know, I texted him Friday, about donuts. He doesn't even respond.
Out of town, up in New York.
Yeah, we were. We were up with Pogie and, kind of busy. So we apologize.
Okay, all is forgiven. So
Wait, maybe not on this end.
Joe. Anyway, were y'all talking famous number 51s?
We were. What you got?
Did Butkus, have y'all already, I'm sure y'all already said that.
He said that. Yes. That's a good one.
By the way, Joe, I have a good trivia question for you. See if you can answer it.
Bring it.
Can you name the Titans head coaches in order since they came to Nashville?
Yes. Jeff Fisher, Mike Munchak, Ken Whisenhunt, Mike Mularkey, Mike Vrabel, and Brian Callahan.
There you go. I didn't think you'd be able to do that.
That was only my job for 25 years, but that's good, though, but thanks.
I was surprised by this. A friend of mine told me this. The Titans, you know, back in the day, when we say that now, I mean, like, I'm talking early, you know, when they were when it was Adelphia Coliseum, you know, stuff like that, back when they were really good, see, now all those guys. Did y'all know that as far as wins, since the Titans came to town, they're like 14th or 15th in the NFL, and people probably wouldn't realize that simply because of, you know, if you want to call them the glory days. It hadn't been good lately, but back then it was good. So they're like middle of the pack as far as wins since they came to town. That kind of surprised me.
And no Super Bowls.
And no Super Bowls. No Super Bowls. Thanks, Clay. We got to run.
See you, boys.
See ya. Always appreciate Clay. By the way, I should have mentioned this. Famous number 51s. We started the show talking about the character. Rowdy Burns drove the number 51 in Days of Thunder.
Are you serious?
He sure did.
Isn't it weird how that all comes around?
And Kyle Busch has driven it in the truck series, that's where the nickname Rowdy Bush came from, because a lot of people felt that Kyle Busch was a lot like Rowdy Burns.
Holy cow, man.
So there you go.
All comes full circle.
It sure does. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays, and I'll wrap things up for a week and a half. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. On this Wednesday, we're presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Want to tell you about this September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trintic's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. We've had a lot of fun today. I'm about to take off on vacation.
Yeah,
Dr.
Here,
Crane will fill in next week. I think you got Mike Organ with you tomorrow and off on Friday.
From the Omni, my friend Sean texted in and said, we left out a former famous Nashville sound that wore number 51.
Oh,
come on.
What's his name that was with the Athletics?
Nope. With the Cardinals.
With the Cardinals. Who?
He's on the active coaching roster for the Cardinals.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Willie McGee.
Well, Willie McGee.
Willie McGee. Thank you, Sean, for listening. Number 51.
Who is the guy that, who am I thinking of?
Athletics.
Yeah. It was the big, shoot.
Mark McGuire?
No.
Jeremy Benefield?
No. Barry Zito. That's who I was
thinking. Barry Zito. Is he still here trying to be a country music singer?
I don't know.
Something like that, man.
But didn't he wear 51?
Well, we'll find out. Maybe he did. You were 51 with the Giants, too?
Maybe. No, I guess he was 50. He was 75. Okay.
75?
He was 53 with the A's.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's what it was.
You tried.
Anyway, I did. Coming up next, with that, let's see. I'm almost there. Just a few more minutes.
You got it, buddy.
What day is it and celebrity birthdays? It's brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Jarrett Fire Division covers all of your business's fire safety needs. Just go to jarrettfire.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, short list today. Freedom from Fear of Speaking Day is today. I Forgot Day, and it's typically a lot of people from time to time.
Huh?
Exactly. That was good. Got me. Made in the USA Day is today. Special.
Damn right.
Indeed.
America!
Red, white, and blue. Special Recreation for the Disabled Day. World Sports Journalist Day. Shout out to you guys.
Adam Vingan.
Yeah, Adam Vingan. World UFO Day is today. Area 51. 51.
What?
There you go.
No.
Yeah.
Today's Area 51 Day?
No. I'm just saying World UFO Day. Area 51, making the connection. Nothing. And to wrap it up, we have National Anisette Day, which is like the. You ever heard of Anise cookies? You ever heard of those? The Italian cookies? No.
Never.
They taste like licorice. It's pretty good.
Licorice cookies.
Anisette has a flavoring of licorice. It resembles it. It's very good.
I bet it is.
Okay.
I'll trust you on that one.
Can I read Wes and Hermitage quick? Wes, I love you. We were talking about 51s. I think he thought we meant age 51. Captain D's and Viagra will be all they would need, my friend. What a weird question. Disregard, I heard the question wrong. Number 51, not age 51. Got it.
Good Lord. Captain D's cures ED? Is that what he's saying?
I guess.
All right, Wes. You need to get your own podcast. You have
one
subscriber, David Janes. All right, time for celebrity birthdays.
Strays everywhere.
Right. Got to get these birthdays within 2 years on opposite side of the actual birthday. Our first birthday, comedian, the very funny, the very rich, Larry David.
Oh. I'm going to say Larry David is 70.
66.
78.
Wow.
She lives here in Nashville, singer Michelle Branch.
58.
50.
42. A show that, Chase, you probably watched growing up. An actress was in it. Ashley Tisdale.
44.
39.
40. Dr. Crane's on the board. She had that show where the two brothers lived in the hotel. Zach was the brother.
Zach and Cody?
Zach and Cody.
That one?
Didn't they live in a hotel? Something like that.
I never watched that.
Sure you didn't. You just knew the name of the show immediately. actress. Oh, my gosh. She's beautiful. Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan.
Good Lord.
39.
37.
39, exactly. My goodness. Margot Robbie. Is how you say it? Barbie? Margot Robbie?
Yeah. She's.
She's what?
She's a blonde.
She's blonde. She's real nice, Clark. Real nice.
Can't see the line, Russ.
Oh, man.
No line. Look, Russ, no lines. What was the question? Margot Robbie is.
35. Dr. Crane's closer. Tied at 2. Got some good birthdays coming on the stretch here. Let's see who else is. Robbie Stanley. Fun facts. I'm not going to read those because, anyway. Oh, yeah. Quincy's right-hand man on the TV show Quincy's still alive. Robert Edo. How old is Robert Edo?
91.
88.
94. You're so close. Actress Polly Holiday. She played Flo on Alice.
78.
70. 88. Man, Mick Jagger's ex-wife, model actor Jerry Hall.
76.
70.
69.
Nice.
Dr. Crane's up 3-2.
Look at you.
Just
look at you.
On the day that Chase goes on vacation. All right, Chase, get this one. Brett the Hitman Hart.
The excellence of execution. Hang on. 68.
70.
68 exactly. Chaser's up now.
I am. The best there is, the best there was, and the best that there ever will be.
You should get this one too, Chase. Ice skater, now he's commentator, Johnny Weir.
58.
64.
41. Don't act like you don't know him. Joe Thornton.
Jumbo Joe. 45.
43.
46. Chaser's up 5-3. Sean Casey.
The mayor. 56.
60.
51. Oh, we got four more. Troy Brown, former New England Patriots receiver. Brady's favorite target.
53.
50.
54. Chaser's up 6-3. We got three really good birthdays down the stretch. How old is Jose Canseco?
60.
62.
61. That's a push. All right, we're down to our last two. Chase up 6-3. Former Nashville Predator goaltender. We were talking about him. Tomas Vokoun.
Voki is...
Chase, you get this, you win.
48. 51.
49. Hey, you suck. 73. We got one more birthday, though, Chase. How old? My goodness. You got straight on Brett the Hitman Hart, but you should get this one, too. How old is the king, Richard Petty?
82.
One of the dirtiest drivers, right, Joe?
Oh, my gosh. That's a story for the day.
84.
Chase said. He's 88 years old.
Oh, wow.
We brought up one day Richard Petty and Dr. Crane had no idea Richard Petty was. Like, yeah, I've just heard he's always been a dirty driver.
No, Joe. All right. Another story for another day. We'll explain. Yeah.
I was like, Richard Petty?
There you go.
Nicest guy ever, man.
I have met him. That is going to do it for us today. I am off for the next week and a half. Hold it down. Have fun. Be safe. And Joe?
Yes, as always, our message to the guys out there, look, we talk all the time. If you're going through something, please reach out, talk to somebody on your cell phone. You can call or text 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. We're always here to talk to you. And always we tell you, your journey, sometimes it's rough, sometimes it's rocky, but it's your journey, and it gets better. I promise you, your journey gets better, and our world is a better place because you are here. I'm telling you, you being here makes our world a better place. Know that. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else on this planet, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Happy 4th. DVD coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.